Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Angela Alberti.
Well, hello out there. Thank you for tuning into today's episode. You could be tuning in to us on the Ivy Podcast or the Workforce Agility Podcast. Regardless, we want to thank you for spending some time with us. I am your host, Angela Alberti. Very excited to sit down and chat with Steven Sorrow. He is the principal recruiter at Counterpoint Solutions. It's an interesting time to be in the world of talent. I think things are at a very pivotal time in terms of transformation and technology enhanced methodologies that we didn't have in place before. So Steven, thank you so much for spending some time with us. Give us a little bit of background on yourself.
Angela, it's a pleasure to be here. Background on myself, I am a recruiter and I focus in the creative marketing technology space. Counterpoint Solutions is a business that I founded in 2017. And I love helping people find jobs. That's really why I started recruiting many years ago. And I like helping people find jobs. And that's
you have to like it. It's like you either love it or you don't, right?
What got me into recruiting is I was in my past life as a project manager and working with a lot of really awesome people who do the creative stuff. All the things. And I really liked bringing people on board to help out more than managing the process as a project manager. And so I found that it was pretty compelling to talk to people about work that I could relate to as a project manager. And I enjoyed finding people that were a good fit. And it's not always about what was on paper. It was more about what's in here and what's up here. Heart and mind for those of there aren't watching the video,
right.
But matching that with a company that could offer them that where they really be successful.
That's fantastic. And I've said this before, I think that there's something sacred when you have somebody's livelihood and career in your hands and being able to place them. So it's interesting to me how you found that balance, maybe some of the logistical skill sets that you picked up in project management and that empathetic people person. I guess that sort of gift that you've aligned with all lining your path towards recruiting. So super cool. Thank you for the background. Before we get started into our regular questions, we're going to do a round of fire and ice. I remembered that I used to do these all the time in my prior episodes and I thought what a great way to revive it. So fire and ice, we call them fire and ice to kind of break the ice, put a little bit of fire underneath you as well. And hopefully let us get to know who Steven is as a person. Question number one, who do you think has been your biggest mentor in your career thus far?
Oh my God, I'm going to sound like a self-absorbed asshole. Because I can't tell you that there's someone who's been a mentor that I feel has really shaped my career.
Well, maybe personally, let's say that. Has anyone been a big mentor for you personally, professionally? Maybe that person has transcended themselves into your personal life. I mean, professional life.
I'm going to go with my kids. My kids have definitely helped mentor me. And I mean that because they've taught me a lot of patience.
Yeah, they tend to do that. Yeah, they tend to do that.
Patience in the process, patience in how long it might take to negotiate. Very basic things, but very important things.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, they certainly do teach you a thing or two. All right, question number two. What do you think is one of the best tools that you have in place that helps you stay organized and on top of the many different things that you've got going on throughout the day?
I think there's always room for additional organization.
Right.
Personally, I've tried pretty much every organizational tool out there, I believe. For me, it's a blend of digital and physical. I'm old school in some ways, so I write it down every day. What are my top five things that I want to accomplish? And, I've used some project management tools in the past, whether it's Trello or ClickUp I was using recently. not sure I really dialed that in too well. So for me, it's really making notes, usually save a draft in my email folder and adding a few reminders in my calendar, but most of it's physical notebook.
Isn't that amazing? And I don't think it's old school. I just think that there's something that happens whenever you visualize what your goals
it's
are and you
tactile.
See them.
I'm a very tactile person and it's very tactile for me, especially when you do that, cross that one off.
Oh my God,
nailed
it feels so good.
Done that one.
Done.
Yeah, yeah. Plus you can doodle, and who doesn't like to doodle? You
know? It helps while you're on the phone making those calls. Yeah. Okay, last question. Are you a morning person or a night
yes,
owl?
Yes, absolutely. 100% morning
you
person.
You didn't even let me finish the
I'm
question.
I'm getting up like, earlier and yes. earlier every day. I love the mornings. Yeah.
Yeah, same here. I think I can relate to all the things that you said. I know our listeners are. Your kids have taught you a few things. You live and die by writing things down, and you're a morning person, like myself, across the board. So, awesome, awesome. Thank you. And congratulations. You survived the round of fire and ice questions. Aww. Let's hop into the real questions. Give us you let us know a little bit about your background and, you know, how you found the staffing and recruiting industry in general by being in project management. But I'd like to know, what was that moment where you said, you know what, I'm going to start my own company. I'm going to start my own, agency and try to build this from the ground up. Can you bring that?
Sure. Moment of clarity. I mean, it was over a period of time. I had the good fortune of working for someone else for several years. And I learned a lot. But, you know, with anything where you work for someone else, sometimes you might want to change things. And sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. And I think I found over time that I wanted to change more than was really feasible right. based on the organizational goals. But the moment of clarity came for me, honestly, when I moved across the country, for my wife, to go to, her, PT program. Sorry, I'm stumbling all over this. So we moved to Atlanta in 2017 and my, current employer and I, tried to work it out remotely. It just really wasn't a good fit long-term. And so we wrapped up in August and moment of clarity was, look, if you're going to set up a company and try and do this on your own, it's time to do it. And so I did. You know, I don't think I would have had the interest in really driving forward without that prod. I just don't think it was there for me. So certainly not as a, my older kid's 5 now. She was 5 months old at the time, bless her heart. So there's no way I would have done it as a new father. So I got a little shove or push.
And where do you hail from originally? Where are you originally from?
Originally from South Carolina.
South Carolina making the move to San Fran. Well, I'm sure you've been to all sorts of places in between.
I've been everywhere, man.
Like the song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Awesome, awesome. So, you know, you had that moment and that, now looking back on it, you know, what advice would you give to that person that is maybe at the agency, had the footing, had the training, looking to go out on their own? Or what, I guess you could say, what advice would you give yourself now that you know that you've been in this on a couple of years?
I would strongly counsel someone who's billing really well at an agency to stay there, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I say that because it takes an intense amount of focus to build a pipeline of candidates or clients. And you know, when you look at a split desk environment where one person handles the accounts, one handles the candidates, that's an intense focus. Mm-hmm. Order of magnitude more if you're doing full desk where you've got to manage the clients and you've got to manage the candidates. In an order of magnitude above that, and I'm not bragging, this is like, it's been a humbling experience. When you're doing all that, spinning those tops and you're managing operations and you're managing marketing and you're managing all the compliance and all the other things that come along with being in a, you know, an employer or an organization that's potentially employing other people plus hiring other people. Mm-hmm. So I would counsel someone to just look at the P&L that you think you're going to have and make sure that you realize that there's going to be a wrap up period and figure out, is it because you want to make more money or is it because you want more autonomy, and make sure you have the ability to commit the time and energy and have the right mindset, which is every failure is just a step towards success. Small failures here and there, things that you didn't think about, things that you need to be doing more of, things that you should write down on your notebook, you know?
So part of that learning curve.
That's a fascinating thing. I've been so impressed at how much it takes to run a business. So now I have a whole set of respect for organizations that have grown from 1 to 10 to 50 to whatever they are, you know,
that's absolutely,
especially
right.
The more bootstrap organizations, you know.
I'm taking that personally because I'm one of the co-founders at MyBasePay, which is an outside company, and boy, are you right about some of the things that you said. I mean, you figure a lot of stuff out that you just didn't know really existed in the world of operating a business in general until you actually live in those shoes. So some great, you know, advice full of wisdom. Now let's talk about the current market and you know, what you're experiencing. What do you think are one of the, and I think I know the answer to this, but to our audience, what is the most challenging thing that you're facing right now as a recruiter?
Personally, as a recruiter, the most challenging thing is making a meaningful connection amidst the noise. There's so many job openings out there.
Okay, so you did surprise me. All right.
There's so many job openings out there. People can click one click apply. Mm-hmm. Automated emails, phone calls from random recruiters, sometimes for me. I don't do a lot of cold calling candidates anymore. And we can talk more about that, but I just feel like people are more prepped for an email. But making that meaningful connection where there's a response, because there's so much noise out there. You know, sometimes if I'm talking with someone who's like a digital project manager or a designer or a front-end developer, and I actually get on the phone with someone, I've usually done a lot of research at that point, and I know unless they screw it up, they got the juice. They got what I'm looking for. I just need to make sure that they're motivated and that there's a match in terms of all the other things, compensation being a large challenge these days. But the meaningful connection is important, because if you can make a meaningful connection with someone and you have a decent array of jobs, there might be a match. Might be. And I'll take might any day long, you know. But if you don't have the connection, it's a very transactional thing, and you're not going to get the respect that you need to get them through the process. And it's not a disrespectful thing if someone takes a job offer before you get them there, but it's helpful if there's transparency. So, you know, how long we got? I'll ask people just almost 100% of the time. I'll ask them, how are your other interviews going? How close do you feel like you are to an offer? And I'm not doing that for leverage. I think leverage can be helpful sometimes, but I'm doing that to understand what's our roadmap look like? Do we have a week? Do we have 2 weeks? Do we have a month? And things can change overnight. But that meaningful connection is so important. And there's so many people contacting them now. So many jobs out there that it's hard for them to, you know, how do you differentiate yourself, you know?
Wow. Yeah. And what is that advice? Because you are in a very high demand niche within the technology sector in a local, and I'm sure you guys are, you're placing and interviewing candidates all over the place, but also based in a high demand nation, a high demand region of the world in general, for the world of technology, and that's San Fran. What is your advice for the current talent shortage conditions? We simply know that there is not enough supply for the demand. How are you mitigating that?
One thing I worry about a lot is not that remote culture is gonna destroy anything. I think remote culture is wonderful. It's been a blessing for me. Right. It's been a blessing for a lot of people to be able to work from home and to take back some of that commute time.
Yeah.
While I say that, because, and here I am in a WeWork office because I need to get out of the house and get a little more fresh air on a daily basis and be around people. But the point is,
not screaming kids all
I worry about everyone working remotely at some point waking up and saying, I'd like to be around some of my team occasionally. Not every day, maybe 2 or 3 days a week. And so the advice that I would say is, you know, continue to hire as best you can in this environment. And that means pulling out all the stops. I don't just mean throwing money. What else can you do? I recently heard where some companies are giving you a week of vacation before you start. That's brilliant. I mean, we wanted you to start on Monday, but take a week off if you weren't thinking about it. But the challenge, I think, and the recommendation I would have is don't put all your eggs in the remote basket. Try to have some center of influence somewhere. And if you set up your shop day one remote and that works for you, great. But I think there's going to be a reversion back to having some in office. Yeah. A lot of the hiring that I'm doing oftentimes is regional. It may not be local to San Francisco, but they're on West Coast. They could come to San Francisco. once a month if needed. It wouldn't break the bank.
Awesome. Some sound advice in this digital remote world that we're living in. Now, any ideas or trends that really excite you the most in the staffing and talent acquisition space in general?
In staffing and talent acquisition, I see more on the talent acquisition side on the corporate side that's very interesting. And I think it is exciting. And that's that there's a much more even playing field now for minorities, people of color, that wasn't there 10 years ago. There's still a lot of work to be done. And here it's hard for me to say this and really feel the impact because I don't, even if I try to, but I see it day in and day out. There's a lot more focus on the employee experience and allowing everybody to have a voice and a seat at the table. And to mean that and not just it be, sure, we'll take some feedback into consideration. You know, a lot of organizations are moving away from, well, 60 years ago, personnel department to human resources, which is a data term, to now employee experience. And I think that's a trend that I really like to see because it helps folks, especially who want to be taken seriously, have more voice in how the company is moving. Whether it's, you know, I don't know, I'm stumbling here. But whether it's something like, you know, how they're interacting with the end customers, maybe they're selling a product that's having some issues, yeah. Or maybe just how they interact with a certain subset of the population.
That's awesome. So I think, you know, overall, it's the diversity and the movement that's happening within the diverse workforce makeup and seeing people in positions that perhaps we wouldn't have seen 20, 30 years ago. And it really is what our organizations are doing to enhance that employee experience, which is a perfect segue, honestly, into my next question. The war on retention, right? So we see this historically, there's never been a higher, I guess, influx of people leaving their positions. And many are calling it the great resignation.
Don't say it. Don't
the
say
great
it.
Reawakening. It really is somewhat of a renaissance that's happening. I mean, we see sole proprietors. I think the number of filed EINs within the last 2 years has been the highest. Maybe this is a residual effect of what the pandemic is. But, and not only that, but now that we have generations like millennials and Gen Zers who have really kind of just thrown the idea of, you know, spending their careers at a company for, you know, 5 years even. What is your idea on retention right now amidst these times? And is there any, you know, really consultative advice that you give to clients when it comes to enhancing retention tactics?
Sure, a lot of executives stay up at night worrying about this. I know, right. I would, I think don't try too hard because regardless of how amazing your company is, people are... Don't try too hard. Try.
I think you're right. I think that's so.
We're going to make the move.
Reanalyzing what retention is. What is a good retention to you? It's no longer 10 years.
Yeah, my advice would change depending on the size of the company. If you can have real, honest conversations with all of your team members, do it. Some people will tell you straight up, yeah, I might make a move. Some people will tell you I wouldn't do it. And some are lying to themselves or you. But just bake in that a portion of your team, and a lot of times it's the best and brightest because they have the capacity to interview better and get that job, are going to leave. And it might be 6 months from now, it might be a year, year and a half, maybe it's already happened. Try to be as flexible and nimble as you can in terms of who's doing what work. And please, for the love of God, and I need to take this on advice, don't be a single point of failure where only one person can do that job. And if they leave, what are we going to do? You know, yeah. Make sure that there's a good job sharing responsibilities, and it sucks, but document it so that it's there so you can plan for it. But those conversations, I think, will yield a lot of insight too. Things that you might be able to change. It could be money for some people. It's not always that. It could be promotions. You know, I'm always asking folks why they're considering making a change. And I'm always surprised at the variety of answers I get. Because, you know, it's so many different factors for people.
So it really is taking the initiative to be as proactive as you can and understanding how they're doing and how they feel about their job, and also implementing processes that make them agile, that makes a company agile. So when then we go to through a pandemic and all of a sudden people are being laid off, we have documented processes that can help other people step in and do the job more easily. Very smart stuff. Now, here is my next question. What does the future of work look like? This could be a little bit of a loaded question, but what does it look like to you? The future of work, where do you think we're going to be sitting at 10 years from now?
Oh, it's too far. I can't answer that. I can tell you 2 years from now, 2 years
okay,
from now.
2 years
and,
from
and
now.
And we'll go for 10, but honestly, that's really hard to say. In a couple of years' time, I think we're going to see a reversion back to the mean where people are going to want to be around other people in the office. Certainly technology is going to continue to blossom and maybe we'll all have holograms. I think that's what you call them, right? Where you're like,
yeah, you just like project out into a meeting.
But even that's not the same warmth and energy that you feel when you're sitting across from someone, and whether it's just having a cup of coffee or chit chat, walking down the hallway and bumping into somebody and making that conversation that would have otherwise been this really challenging email. So I think there's going to be a blend of hybrid. I think remote's definitely here. It's just going to take a different path for a lot of companies that that can manage to pivot back, and they're trying, you know.
That's right. So the current recruiter climate, I love this. We had a chance to prep session not too long ago, and we were talking about a meme that I saw on LinkedIn. They were comparing the recruiter to Bitcoin. What do you think about this hiring frenzy that's happening right now for the recruiter? I mean, we see recruiters that had spent their careers at a mom and pop all of a sudden getting swapped up by the huge, fancy, sexy companies of the world and making, you know, ungodly amounts of money that they, you know, these mom and pop agencies could never compare to. What do you think about this general trend that's happening? And what advice would you give to that recruiter that did make the move all of a sudden and is finding themselves in a very different corporate environment thanks to the trend happening within the marketplace right now?
Well, I mean, there's always ups and downs to these sorts of things. My advice would really be, you know, don't just follow the money. Find a place that you're going to be passionate about. There's a lot of wonderful recruiting companies out there. But there's a lot of them where you're potentially going to feel hamstrung. You may even pick up on some toxic work environments. It comes with the territory. It's a sales type of environment. And in some companies, they're not incentivizing the right things. And so I would tell someone if they're looking to make a move, especially from a mom and pop where they know everybody, they really got a good handle on their niche, and now they're going to do something else. Sure, maybe they're going to double their base or whatever, or their unlimited commissions, all the things that they'll come up with to woo you over. If you don't have a really good handle on what those metrics are going to look like at the new place and what your success factors are going to look like a year from now, the market may be dramatically different, and you may be showing up at the top of their P&L and on your way back out, despite your best efforts, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So as we're wrapping up today's session, I just have a couple more questions for you. Say that you know, I always think that this industry is not an industry. No one grows up wanting to be in recruiting, to be honest. It's just like it finds you and it like sucks you in like a vacuum, and then you're in this black hole vortex, right? What is that advice that you would give to somebody that is a newly inductee of this industry coming from a completely different scope or space of work?
I would definitely tell them to go work for someone else. Don't just hang out your shingle and say, I can recruit. It's really helpful to learn a process. You may change it over time, but every organization of at least a modest size has formal process for how they engage with clients and with candidates. Go there minimum 2 years. Your first year, you're going to think you know everything. You don't. You're going to need more time. You'll learn a lot, and you'll have a better chance to decide if you want to go out on your own. You know, I think that was your question for people that are wanting to go out on their own or just join recruiting.
Just join recruiting in general.
Yeah, go work for a small to a mid-sized or a larger recruiting firm. Be very curious. and learn as much as you can. Never stop asking questions and have fun, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Content diet. What things are you reading up on that you stay alert on that helps you within the industry or perhaps within the niche that you search for?
I do try anytime I come across a new job or I'm talking with a candidate and they mention some term that I haven't heard to be honest and ask them, tell me a little bit more about that. It doesn't change overnight, thankfully, because I'm not doing the Bitcoin recruiting. But, you know, I try to stay abreast of all the technologies that are going into, you know, website development. Current events are really important for me. It's not just the fact that it affects the economy and recruiting. I just really want to stay abreast of that. I don't have anything where I'm religiously reading every week. I know a lot of people read hundreds of books a year. I would love to be at that place in my life, you know. So it's mostly just researching things that are directly related to candidates or jobs that I'm working on. Yeah,
I agree. I echo in on your sentiment. I would love to be at a place in my life where I can read books. But aside from work and being a parent full time, yeah. it's hard to find the time. It's true. So where can we find you, Stephen? Where's the best way to get a hold of Stephen?
Well, my company, Counterpoint Solutions, .com. You could find me there or reach out to me at Stephen@CounterpointSolutions. Happy to chat with folks, especially anyone who maybe isn't a recruiter and is thinking about it. I won't tell you not to do it. I might give you a little advice on things to avoid and things to consider.
Yeah. Awesome. Great. All right, Stephen, thank you so much for spending some time with us. Genuinely, really appreciate you sitting down and chatting with us and just giving us your general insights and thoughts on things that are happening within the industry and some advice for those that are going to be a part of the industry. Hopefully there's a few listeners that take some value from that. I know I certainly did as well. And thank you to our listeners for spending some time with us. As I always say, time is a valuable thing. And the fact that you guys decided to spend some time with us today is certainly appreciated. We'll see you guys on the next episode of the Ivy Podcast. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.